Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Tomorrow, Penn State basketball. They'll take on Minnesota tomorrow night at the BJC, looking to make it back-to-back. One on Saturday, 79-51. I know for Kevin, the big experience during the break was whether or not his son made weight. He did.
Very good day. Very good day.
And on behalf of a grateful nation, no.
I wish I could say I made weight, but you know that's a whole different topic, man.
That's just a different deal. That's a different deal. All right. Again. Don't care if Marshawn Lynch talks to the media or not. Doesn't matter.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
That's fine. You're not going to get fined. You showed up. That's fine. I just don't want you grabbing body parts once you score a touchdown or win a game because, I'm sorry, that's absolutely wrong. Saying nothing is not wrong, but doing that is. So there you go. I just want to make sure you have a handle on Marshawn Lynch. The NFL, Kevin brought up a great point yesterday about the college football playoff, and they're being encouraged strongly by ESPN, which is the media rights holder, to get the games off New Year's Eve the next couple of years, which is where they'll be. And Kevin's absolutely right in terms of the timing. January 2nd next year is a Saturday. You play it on a Saturday, the audience you're going to get is going to be great. And the NFL is not playing on that Saturday. It's the final regular season weekend, thus they will play on Sunday the 3rd. That's it. But the NFL is doing something else. They have talked to the College Football Playoff Committee saying that there's a little bit of a concern in their part. The College Football Playoff Committee has a 12-year deal, so it's one down, 11 to go. And they, of course, are playing their championship game, which was an open night on Monday night. Well, next year, for example, the game in, I think it's in Glendale next year, I think where the Super Bowl is this year, they get the game this year, is going to be on Monday the 10th. And then the game in Tampa the year after is going to be on Monday the 9th. Well, the NFL, led by Roger Goodell, has actually talked to the college football playoff people. And, of course, the NFL would like to expand their playoffs by one team, which, of course, would add one extra game to the opening round, which would be that weekend. They'd like to play the game on a Monday night. The NFL, seen by many 1 year ago as a well-oiled machine, has done nothing but stumble, stammer, and be too full of itself and almost feel like they're untouchable and don't realize that they can overstep their bounds. And this is one of those areas where, look, reel it in. Back off. You want an extra round of playoffs and so forth? Make it work out. But they already have that date. They picked that date before you did anything. we can debate whether or not they should be playing games on January 2nd or December 31st. Those are open dates on the sports calendar football-wise. But they've already selected what the dates are going to be for the college football championship game. They did so in a bid. The people in Glendale are expecting next year's game to be on Monday, January 10th. The people in Tampa are expecting the 2017 game to be on January 9th. That was part of the bid. What, because the big, bad, mighty NFL wants to come in and now they want to play a Monday night game? Hey, whoa, who, hey. That shows me that there is a level of arrogance that the NFL needs to be very, very careful with.
I totally agree with you. I don't think there's any... I don't think the NFL has any leg to stand on by saying, oh, by the way, we're going to make a change, so we want you to cater to us. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that whatsoever. I do like the idea of moving those semifinal games from New Year's Eve to January 2nd for other reasons. But I don't think you should move that championship game. I know it's two separate issues.
Yeah, two separate issues.
Right.
But if I'm the college football playoff committee people, I said, look, this is when we're playing it.
We were here first.
You don't like it? Tough. Okay, well, no, but no, you look at them and say, this is when we're playing it. You want to go head-to-head with us? Go head-to-head with us. I don't care. But you know who's going to look bad? You are. Because we will tell everybody that we selected these dates for the next 11 years.
Well, and here's
and
the
we
other...
did it, and we did it because the date was open, right? And for you to come in and all of a sudden take your product and put it up against our product, because, of course, ESPN is going to be carrying it. Now what do you do? Because the Monday night game, in all likelihood, would be on ESPN. That's their time slot. Now you can sell it to anybody.
Why not do what the NFL is trying to do, well, not only trying, but doing in the next couple of years? Make it a Sunday triple-header playoff game. Why don't you play one on Sunday night? Play it Sunday afternoon, Sunday late day, Sunday night.
Well, that's what they should do.
Yes.
But they've talked to them about, you know, putting it on a Monday night. And it's like, if I'm the college football playoff committee, I'd be looking and go, hey, you know what? Enough's enough. We move things around all the time, and we base the schedule on the schedule you already gave us. Enough is enough. You may be the $9 to $12 billion industry, but you know what? You're overstepping now. And we're going to make sure that if you do this, we're going to make you look as bad as you can look. And by the way, how's your concussion lawsuit going?
I also think that if the NFL really wants to put it on a separate day, I don't like this idea for a playoff game, but if it's a wild card game and it's this, as I would like to call it, the bonus wild card game, you want to play it on a weeknight where you normally play football, play it on Thursday night. I know it gives teams short weeks, I get it, but you don't worry about it during the regular season.
Well, yeah, you don't worry about it in the regular season, but it is a little more planned out.
I think the three...
And there's a twofold to that. Hey, the short week, okay, both teams have to go through the short week, but the winner has extra days for the next round.
That's also true. That's a good point.
That's the part that's not fair.
But you know what? With the success of the NFL owning Sunday, why not make it a triple header and just play a lot of football?
I agree with you.
Every other Sunday of the year. There's no conflict that way.
Oh, I agree with you. There wouldn't be.
I don't want to see a wild card game on Monday night, as a matter of fact. I'm not even thrilled with it being on Sunday night. I mean, one of the nice things about playoff games is I know they will end before 10 o'clock on a Sunday. So I know I don't have to sit there groggy on Monday morning because I've watched a game that just went overtime or whatever. That's the one drawback of the Super Bowl being played as late as it is. By the time you get home, it's 11:30 or 12 o'clock because the game came to an end about 10.
Where are you watching it?
Well, you have to drive home from your parties. I'm
so
sorry.
Does it take 10 minutes?
You don't have parties. I forgot.
Does it take 10 minutes?
Sometimes 30.
Yeah, but you got to remember something. The vast majority of the country now doesn't live in the Eastern time zone.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, when it comes to the Super Bowl, the World Series, things like that, you're right. It is. I have to admit, though, it is the one thing that does annoy me about the national championship for college football is that it starts so late in the evening, and because of the way these college games are going, and the extra timeouts that are being used for TV timeouts, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock in the East before it's over.
Yeah. Well, it's a three-hour game for the most part. The game kicks off at 8:30. The Super Bowl at least kicks off at 6:30.
What game are you talking about that's 3 hours? You get all those TV spots in there, it's about 11:45 at the earliest.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's still a three-hour window. It's 3:15. What's the, you know, that's a three-hour window. It's not a four-hour window. It'd be a four-hour window if it went to overtime. I mean, the NFL, they'll be done before 10 o'clock. They're going to kick off at 6:30.
Penn State in the Orange Bowl that time, I thought I was going to pass out by the time it was over. But it was a great game.
Well, that game kicked off just after 8 o'clock. And we were on the air at 6:30. We were off the air at 2. So Jack and I were on the air for 7.5 hours for the Orange Bowl.
I know. I was listening to the whole thing. About 1 o'clock, I started to get extremely groggy.
Yeah, Dick in Milton joins us. Hi, Dick.
I really don't have much to say except for one thing. Did you just say that the vast majority of the people don't live in the Eastern time zone? I think that's not accurate.
I don't know. The last time I checked, the population of California and Texas is pretty hefty.
I know that
Illinois, California, Texas, Arizona, Oregon. That's three time zones, Dick.
I know. There's a lot of people in those areas, but there's an awful lot of big cities in the Eastern Time Zone. There's a lot of people, guarantee you.
Oh, Dick,
New York,
Dick, don't give me a geography lesson, okay? The population has shifted, my man. Okay, they're not sitting here in the Rust Belt anymore. They got the hell out of here. Okay, they've gone to California, they've gone to Nevada, they've gone to Arizona, they've gone to Texas, they've gone to all over the place. Okay, and that's one of the things we got to start realizing that. New York, Philadelphia, the population's dropping in the East. It's dropping.
Well, I don't dispute that it's dropping, but there's an awful lot of people living on the East Coast yet, guarantee you.
Well, there are. There are a lot of people living on the East Coast, but the majority of the population now live... There are more people who live in those.
You said the vast majority. I'm going to figure it out tonight, and then we'll. I'll see where I'm at with it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I looked it up. As of 2013, the Eastern Time Zone had 47% of the U.S. population. 53% in the Central Mountain Pacific. Now that was as of this report in 2013.
That's still a lot. That's the better part. Almost half there. 44. It's closer to half than it is to zero. So I guess that's a lot in one time zone. That's what I'm saying. As opposed to three of them combined. That's all my thing. I'm not trying to defend the Eastern time zone. I just think that's a lot. I'll see you.
I personally would rather watch a football game in Hawaii for multiple reasons. I can think of a lot of great reasons for Hawaii. Hawaii's got the best deal going. What is it, like 7 o'clock in the morning, the East Coast games start? Then the West Coast games start probably noon, a little bit after. Then Sunday night football is probably around 5 o'clock. I mean, and you still have time to relax yet. I think Hawaii will be my next move. We'll have more in just a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
With no bones in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Make
tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,389. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Come see the Snowbusters at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. CAMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Sorry for the... I think we dropped out. I didn't hear the end of that, so... Something dropped.
I dropped my phone. Does that count?
Oh. No, I couldn't hear you, so...
Ah.
Like, oh. So I don't know.
That's an interesting... A lot of people wish that were the case.
I found inner peace. I was also looking around going, oh, God, now what do I do?
It's funny. I had the same feeling.
No, I'm looking at it like, what buttons do I hit here?
Or better yet, most what button did I hit?
Yeah. I didn't hit any buttons. It doesn't matter. I'm here. So
you're back. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So all I know is that suddenly there was nothing. So, I don't know. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Chelsea and Liverpool, by the way, scoreless in the 82nd minute.
Why?
Oh. You know, I honestly have given it Jeff Tarman. Oh, he's huge.
Yeah. Liverpool fan. He loves Liverpool. And you know what? When we've had Tony Knopp on the show, what's the hot buy in sports?
Well, he's talked about Premier League being big.
It's soccer. Soccer's the hot buy. Now, it was interesting. We had him on last week. What's the hot buy now? He says everything's hot. Everything is hot.
Well, you know what? As far as television is concerned, television and media buys are big right now in sports because it's the one thing that majority of the people watching it will watch live and not DVR.
Yeah.
Except for me.
It's also on earlier in the day. See, and again, this is the balancing act that has to happen. We were just talking about time zones. At that part, I remember we were talking about time zones. And then all of a sudden, I lost you and Dick, and I was like, okay. Suddenly, I'm circling a fogged-in airport. But basing things on the Eastern time zone, there are other time zones.
Well, it's like I said, the majority right now, 53% do not live in the Eastern time zone.
Right.
And I never really thought about it. And that's where
because
I talked
to... Look how much the population of California and Texas has dramatically increased. Michigan lost population. They're in the Eastern time zone. Michigan lost population in the most recent census. Lost. Well, everybody else gained. They lost. That's why I've talked about Michigan football. They're at a really interesting precipice right now. I mean, they're at a real interesting point. Where do you recruit? What if young people are leaving your state in droves? You know, they're following their families. It's not like, you know, hey, it turns out I'm a five-star prospect. And my family just moved to Texas because that's where Dad got a job. Now what do I do?
Well, it's a little hard to recruit, too. I mean, when you're... I'm just saying now, not an SEC team, but pick any team in the South where the average temperature in the winter is about 60 degrees or it could be two degrees and snowing. Where would you rather spend most of your college year?
Well, what does the East have? They have Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, D.C. And, you know, in D.C. there's 100% employment. And then Florida and the Carolinas, Atlanta. But look how the population has just, you know, shifted. You still got Chicago. Illinois has a huge population. Texas. growing in droves. Oklahoma. Hey, guess which state's going crazy right now with population growth? North Dakota. Why? Oil. Oil. It's made a big difference there. Populations, I mean, you watch the next census, how much North Dakota has grown. Arizona, population of Arizona's through the roof. That's why you're hosting the Super Bowl there. Is it going to be great? Hey, this week in Arizona, they have the Super Bowl. But you know what? Here's another event that's going to draw 600,000 people. The Phoenix Waste Management Open. They think for the Pro-Am and for the 4 days of the tournament, they're going to have 600,000 tickets through the turnstile. Now, obviously, some people are going to go every day, so that's part of it. But 600,000? Can you believe that?
It's January. There's sunshine, and it's warm there.
Right.
Enough reason
and
to
Tiger,
go.
And Tiger Woods is in the tournament.
Bonus.
You look at the stadium setup they have at the 16th hole. It's unbelievable.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. I didn't get a hold of my brother. I texted him, but he also has a nasty habit of not looking at his phone for 3 days and going, "Oh, hey, I see he texted me."
Yeah, was he in the 1 foot, 2 foot, or 3 foot zones of snow?
I don't know. He's right on the Connecticut-Massachusetts border.
Oh, yeah, he's in the heart.
Between Hartford, Springfield. So, I don't know.
I'm familiar with that area all too well.
Yes. Oh, I know you are. Yes, you've done a lot of games up there.
I've seen a lot of time up there. But
that's another area, for example, that while it's had a population increase, because all 49 of the 50 states have population increases, the percentage of increases is minuscule in those states. Because they've lost a lot of industry. And we've talked about Michigan earlier. Michigan, of course, has had a lot of the automotive industry move out or downsize or whatever. Take Connecticut. The employer in Connecticut, which employed thousands of people, happened to be Pratt & Whitney Aircraft. In fact, where the University of Connecticut plays football now at Rensselaer Field... Well, the reason it's called Rensselaer Field is that was the landing strip that they use for jet engine tests at Pratt & Whitney. Well, why did they end up building the stadium in that area? Because they moved their operations to Alabama. Not only is Alabama in the South, it's in the Central Time Zone. See, and that's what's happened to a lot of industries up in our area. They have moved out, and that was a huge one. There, I mean, at one point, that was United Technologies. United Technologies had Pratt & Whitney Aircraft, Sikorsky Helicopters, and Hamilton Standard, which made, by the way, the life packs that they used on the moon. All those, and I think Otis Elevator was part of United Technologies as well. And these things are all moving out. Better tax rates. This sounds like it's on the mark here. but it goes to the sports part of it as well. I mean, where's Microsoft set up? In the Northwest. Google, Nike, Silicon Valley, and Texas has a tax rate that's unbelievable. Why do athletes right now live in droves in Florida and in Texas? Why?
There's no state tax.
Exactly. There's no state income tax.
There's a higher sales tax, but no state income tax.
Right. It's no state income tax. And that's another, for example, I was talking about Connecticut earlier because you mentioned my brother. Well, when I was, Connecticut didn't have a state income tax when I lived there. They finally voted in later, and now it's like 1.5 times what it is in Pennsylvania. When they did it, it was a whopper.
Yeah,
and that's why, for example, when Mark talks about these things on his show, I talk about this in sports business as well. You have too many short-sighted people running operations. You've got to have a long-term view. You've got to have a big picture. You have to have somebody around that has some foresight here. And when I look, for example, we were just talking about the NFL. Well, the NFL right now appeared to have that. Now, they're in a one big money grab after another. I mean, this thing with YouTube.
Yeah,
it's another money grab.
Yeah, they announced
TV,
yesterday.
Money grab. Yeah.
They announced yesterday that YouTube will now officially have an NFL channel that you'll be able to get in-game highlights. It'll actually start with the Super Bowl. You can't watch live games, but you'll be able to get in-game highlights.
Hey, 115 million people are going to be watching the Super Bowl. Do I really need highlights on YouTube?
The Super Bowl would be, it's just the first of many, but I don't suppose there'll be too many people, you know, watching the highlights there.
And because of the population shift, you also have to have a shift in your thinking. Yeah, we live in the Northeast, but you know, you talk about the game being over at 10:30 at night here. Well, it'll be over at 9:30 at night in the Central Time Zone, 8:30 at night in Denver, and 7:30 at night in California. And that's, start times are very tricky. For example, I love when people tell me the World Series should be played on a weekday afternoon. Really?
Well, I don't like that idea at all.
Oh, no, because when we were growing up, we'd all go to school and have transistor radios and listen to the game. Oh, okay, so that's better than watching the game? I don't get it. They should play a World Series game on a weekday. No, they shouldn't.
Well, remember what happened with the baseball network years ago?
That is illogical.
That failed
in today's society. Of course, it's illogical in today's society. Who's watching afternoon baseball in the middle of the day unless you're retired or you work night shift? Who? I mean, kids aren't going to be. I want to get kids to go to games, love baseball, see the game. Now, if you would like to put together this is where it becomes tricky for the World Series. I wouldn't start the World Series any later than 8 o'clock. And I know you're now running into, on the West Coast, that money-making 5 o'clock to 6:30 deal. This is where, over-the-air TV, you're going to have to start making some real judgments as to what to do. The college football playoff can start their game anytime they want. You want to know why? They're on cable.
You know,
so if the college football playoff wanted to start the game at 8 instead of 8:30, they could. They're not interrupting anything.
You know,
it's difficult for me. Well, just one quick point.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm running a TV station. And I'm running a TV station in Las Vegas, Phoenix, Tucson, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Jose, Fresno, whatever. And I just named a lot of markets. And say they want to start the World Series at 8 o'clock. And I'm losing from 8 o'clock to 6:30, which is a huge money-making time. I'm going to lose it for a week, right? I'm going to lose it for a week if they start the game at 8 o'clock. Now, that's on over-the-air. If you're on cable, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. You know, what are they interrupting? Pardon the interruption?
That's ironic.
But that's the 5 o'clock show, right? Pardon the interruption.
But you can't have the argument that if they started the game earlier, kids and more people would have a chance to get to the game. I don't buy that because I don't see a whole lot of World Series tickets readily available to the average fan. That's like saying if you started, you know, the Super Bowl, a lot of fans get to go to the Super Bowl. I don't get that. I see mostly as a corporate event more than a fan event. I'm not saying fans don't go to the Super Bowl. I've had friends that have gone to the Super Bowl. But for the most part, you know, the really good seats or the seats that are a view of the field that aren't 800 miles away, they're corporate. And I think that happens a lot with baseball and the World Series, too. I could be wrong.
I think what's the percentage? 12% goes to one team, 12% to the other. 6%, I think, goes to the two teams that were the conference runner-ups. And then everything else is like 2 or 3% to the other teams.
That's for the Super Bowl or the World Series?
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Okay. You said conference, but I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, AFC and NFC. The conference, like the Colts and the Packers, would that be their percentage of tickets?
I mean, I know friends that have gone to the Super Bowl, and they really fight for tickets. It doesn't matter who's playing. I mean, obviously, it's a big game, but trying to find tickets is not real easy.
Not cheap either. That's no, but this goes back. Let's talk about the football thing for a second. Why is the football deal no issue whatsoever in this game? And there's going to be an over and under, I guess, on how often it's mentioned in the game broadcast. My guess is it's mentioned one time and that's it on the game broadcast. The pregame show, you know, they got all this time to fill, so they'll do the usual stupid stuff that some people come up with. But Michaels, Collinsworth, and Michelle Tafoya, my guess is it gets mentioned one time and one time only. And it'll be done in this context. Super Bowl is completely different than any other game. You know, we talk about the dozen footballs on each side. You know how this works? There's going to be approximately 100 footballs used in the game. 100. You want to know why? Because they take the ball, boom, get it out for a play, toss it out. And it goes to the sponsors as a gift. That's how they do it. The ball boys, by the way, are from the Chicago Bears. It's their turn
the
in
Bears?
The lottery.
Okay.
It's their turn in the lottery to do it. It says their gift for being, you know, for the season.
For putting up with the Bears season.
Yeah. But that's... And that, I think they're selected from the pool of non-playoff teams.
Interesting.
So this idea of roughing up balls and things like that, roughing up the footballs, things like that, it's not going to be able to happen. They're changing the ball on almost every play. Not every one of them, but almost every one of them. They have 100 available. They constantly change the football because they take the football out, they toss it in a bag, and guess what? It goes to a sponsor.
On a brilliant idea, I thought, anyway, for the coin toss for the national I think it was the national championship game. Might have been the Rose Bowl now that I think about it. But they had one team on one side of the coin, one team on the other. Nobody called it. They just flipped it. That was a cool idea. I liked that idea.
That's been done before.
Yeah, it's the first time I noticed it.
Right. I've always liked that thing. I've always thought that was the best way of doing it. Big game like that.
Now, it's a little hard to do it for a regular season game, but...
Well, of course it is. I understand that. But, the football thing will be mentioned by Michaels, Collinsworth, and Tafoya, I'll bet once, and it'll be in that context, that it is no big deal. Has no effect on this game whatsoever. They're constantly changing out the football in this game. And it's the Bears sideline kids that will be the ones that will be out there. So.
Listen, the only thing I'm worried about is how long is the national anthem And what's the bet on it, right? What's the parlay on it right now? Or the side bet, I guess, would be what they call it. Sorry.
You're kidding.
Oh, I listen, some of the exotic bets I think are just a riot.
Okay. The only thing I think of when it comes to the national anthem and is I try to time it out in such a way where we're playing commercials.
Yeah, that never works because, for me. I'm terrible at that.
You shouldn't do that. Well, except here's the reason why. We don't have it mic'd.
Right.
And because it's not mic'd, it is distant and sloppy on the air, especially if it, you know, we're on the road or they bring in a singer. It's not mic'd. So it's just better in terms of how it sounds on the air to not air it. I believe we did. I think the last time we aired the national anthem, well, consciously aired the national anthem, I think was after the, I guess it was after 9/11's Wisconsin game.
By the way, I did find some of the prop bets. That's what they were called. I call them parlay, but they were prop bets. How long will it take Idina Menzel to sing the national anthem? The over-under is 2 minutes, 1 second. I'm going to take the over. I don't think it's going to be much over, but I want the over. And, of course, the one you were talking about is how many times will deflated balls be referred to during the game? The over-under is 2.5.
It's one.
I think I agree with you. I think it's going to, I'd take the under in that one.
Like, the reason being is that, look, these are football guys. After a while, when you're a football person, you're like, oh, for God, I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, here's a good one. Which color will Bill Belichick's hoodie be? Gray, blue, or red? And will the sleeves be cut? That's another side.
It's indoors because the roof will be closed for the game. The roof is open for the Pro Bowl.
Right.
It'll be closed for the Super Bowl. And the Patriots will be wearing white. So that'll help you determine what hoodie you want to see.
Here's the one I know you're going to put money on.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I can't wait.
Which song will Katy Perry perform first at halftime? Firework, Roar, This Is How We Do It, Dark Horse, E.T., Wide Awake, or Waking Up in Vegas?
Remember when Dick called?
Yes.
And remember how I had a dropout here?
Uh-huh. Do you have another dropout coming?
I really wish it would happen again now.
Aren't you glad there's a break?
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Who's that?
Really? Well, your kids are all older, so I can understand. That's Idina Menzel from Frozen and the song that actually she took to the top of the chart, Let It Go. That's how she got the gig to do the Super Bowl, was basically the movie and the song.
No, okay.
So I give you a little bit of a break there, because anyone that has especially daughters under the age of about 12 has heard that song as in their heads for about a year now.
Wow. Okay. That's the first time I ever heard it. Wow.
You do know who Katy Perry is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Just check it.
Yeah. She took the elephant head off of Lee Corso at Ole Miss.
That's how you know her. Really? Come on.
I know who Katy Perry is. Very, very, very familiar. They'll open the roof. They'll close the roof. Roof will be closed. Patriots wear white. Seahawks will wear their blue and whatever.
So what color hoodie will Belichick have?
I guess will be a dark one because
I was going to go with blue myself.
Because they would want him to stand out. I mean, look, there's certain ways that, that people dress on the sidelines, and part of it is so you can find somebody. It's a little bit different in the NFL than it is in college. In college, it's far more imperative that you're able to find whomever's signaling in. In the NFL, you don't have to do that because you hit a button and you can communicate with the quarterback until 15 seconds before the snap.
Middle linebacker has one of those, too, on the defensive side.
The middle linebacker has one as well. But I think they don't have quite the leeway that the quarterback does with the with whomever's, you know, normally it's the coordinator. But the coordinator, literally the coordinator or the head coach, if the head coach is calling the plays, because some head coaches do, obviously, like Mike McCarthy at Green Bay. You actually have 25 seconds to talk to them. You got until 15 seconds before the snap. It's more leeway, I think, than people realize they have. And yeah, the middle linebacker has as well. So you just that's why in the NFL you don't see people signaling in anything ever.
Coin toss, you take heads or tails?
It doesn't matter.
There it goes. The fun being sucked out of the room.
They give you all sorts of stats all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, all sorts of stats. Yep. I'll get when team wins opening tip. Right? When team wins coin toss. Really? Now, the only thing I always find relevant is if they tell me, for example, like Iowa takes the ball all the time. Now, that I find relevant. Kirk Ferentz always takes the ball.